You're listening to episode 29 of the Thrive Tribe 419 podcast, A Man of Cultures with Robert Johnson. Prosper, flourish, bloom with your people, your close-knit group, your clan, straight out of area code 419, with the most cutting-edge, controversial, and enlightening information from the most knowledgeable experts in everything, mind, body, and soul. Welcome to the Thrive Tribe 419 podcast. I'm your host, Rose Hollow. Hello, Tribe. How are you? Thank you for tuning into this episode with Robert Johnson. He is a really cool dude, and I can't wait to tell you more about him and get right to the interview. So, from November 2005 through October 2008, Robert lived and taught English in the Philippines and in Thailand, and he married a Filipino woman who lives here in the U.S. with him today, and their two kids. In September 2011, he moved to Fort Wayne, Indiana from Texas after accepting a job from Sweetwater Sound, but that job didn't really float his boat, so he decided to be a stay-at-home dad, and his wife went to work, which is kind of unusual, eh? So from 2013 to 2016, Robert authored three novels, two of which became Amazon bestsellers, and that was during his stay-at-home dad time in his life, and he wrote the first two books while watching over his preschool-aged kids, so I'm sure many of you moms and dads can understand how challenging that was for him. Then, in February of 2016, he founded Crossroads Kombucha, which was a hobby of his, which quickly turned into a full-time job, and he had to give up his writing career to follow this new passion of his. So we're going to be talking about all of those things in this episode. But before we get started, I always have announcements. So the first announcement is that if you don't know already, we are having a holistic health fair on Saturday, April 14th. From 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at St. John United Church of Christ at 950 Webster Street here in Defiance, Ohio. That's on the Defiance College campus. And we're having some presentations, which are really cool. There will be emotional freedom techniques. There will be cooking real food. There will be a non-toxic cleaner DIY, low inflammation diet and how to read labels. A presentation called My Microbes Made Me Do It, a presentation called Hypothalamus Reset. So we have all kinds of really cool things for you to do there. And each presentation is just $5 per person. So you just come with your $5 cash pay at the door. Great. If you just want to walk around the fair floor, that's cool too. We are going to have a whole bunch of vendors there. People who work with mind, body, soul, all that holistic health stuff that we talk about in this podcast. ProMedica is going to have a little breastfeeding lounge area. We have a photographer doula. We have a wedding officiant. We are going to have, I just can't even name it all. So many people there. Really great people. I tried to keep the variety really nice for you guys so you won't see anybody repeating what the last person did. And I have really hand-selected some of the best and some of my favorites from Northwest Ohio. So I really hope that you can be there. And it has grown so fast that I think next year we're going to need a bigger facility and probably two classrooms because I have so many people who would like to give presentations and we just don't have the space or the time this year. So that's kind of exciting. So the next thing I want to talk about is a giveaway that we are doing with Robert, who's in this episode today. He is the owner and founder of Crossroads Kombucha. So the way that this is going to work is that you need to have an Instagram account. If you are on Instagram, you need to follow Crossroads Kombucha, and you also need to follow us, the Thrive Tribe 419 podcast. So make sure you're following us. Then every day, starting today, for the next 14 days, so that's 2 weeks, you need to post one picture per day showing how you are thriving in the 419. It can be anything you want. It can be, you know, some self-care time. It can be playing with your kids. It can be cooking dinner. It can be your husband giving you a foot massage. whatever you wish, anything that feeds your mind, body, or soul, post a picture every day. Now, when you post this picture, you will need to use 2 hashtags for this picture to be counted, okay? So are you ready? The first one is Thrive Tribe 419. That's the word thrive, the word tribe, the numbers 419. Okay, so you got the first one. Okay, the second one is Crossroads Kombucha. Crossroads is spelled exactly the normal way. Kombucha, if you don't know how that's spelled, it's K-O-M-B-U-C-H-A. So starting today and for the next 14 days, we are challenging you all to post a picture a day tagging Thrive Tribe 419 and tagging Crossroads Kombucha. Now, honestly, you can start this challenge on any day. We would like you to have a total of 7 pictures. If you can do 14, that just increases your chances of winning. And Robert and I will get our heads together at the end of the 14 days, and we will decide who the winner is. So we'll be looking at how many pictures you've posted. The more, the better. Probably not everybody is going to do this for 14 days. So if you start later, that's fine. You can even post 2 or 3 or 4 a day if you would like. Post as many as you would like. So Robert and I will be going back and looking at all these photos and picking out our favorites between the two of us. So do your best, guys. The winner will receive a 12-pack of mixed flavored kombucha from Crossroads Kombucha. This winner can be anywhere in the U.S. He will ship it to you if you are not in the local Fort Wayne or Northwest Ohio area. So, hey, everybody, I have Robert Johnson here with me, and he is going to tell me how he thrives in the 419. So, hey, Robert.
Hey, thanks for having me here on the podcast. I'm really grateful for the opportunity you've given me.
Well, I'm grateful for you taking the time to be here.
Thanks. And as far as thriving in the 419, I guess the first thing I should say is that, I'm the owner of Crossroads Kombucha. We're a Fort Wayne, Indiana-based company.
Right.
So we're not in the 419, but this is our big expansion year. And I cannot wait. I've been actually looking forward for the last year of getting up there in that northwestern corner of Ohio. I've actually been told by so many people that as far as the holistic culture goes, you guys are more advanced than we are here in Indiana.
Really? That's interesting.
Yep, I've had actually 2 nutritionists within the last 2 months tell me that. So I cannot wait to get up to that area. We're probably looking at spring of this year.
All right. So you've heard good things about us. That's good to know. Mm-hmm. And I really hope that your business does thrive here. I know you're going to have some competition. I think there's somebody in the Bryan area that makes kombucha, and there are maybe a couple producers in the Toledo area. So, yep, you'll have some competition, but I can say my friends really do like kombucha, so we'll see how you do over here. And I'm looking forward to tasting your products, and I gotta say that your marketing and branding is pretty good from a marketing perspective. You got some nice, catchy graphics, and your bottles are nice to look at, so I think you'll probably do pretty well over here.
Yeah, we and I know the company out of Bryan, they do the farmers market here in Fort Wayne on Saturdays, and we've got nothing but love for them. I think a lot of people. One of the funny things in the kombucha market is there's a lot of camaraderie because we're such a niche product that it's you've got to be a little odd to get into it. And so I think the people that are making it are very similar to each other, and it's a growing market. Competition is good. It's a good thing to have, and I can't wait to add ourselves into that region up there with the others. So.
Very cool. So, in our pre-interview, I learned a little bit more about you than I knew before. So, we might get off track a little bit here, but I'm going to try to follow the plan that we had for the podcast, and we'll see where it leads us. So, I know that your
It'll be
journey.
exciting.
You are a very interesting person, with a very cool history here. So I know your kombucha story kind of starts with your addiction to root beer. So tell us about that.
Okay. Well, I was a soft drink addict, like I think so many humans are, Americans especially. And I had gone on this journey a few years ago. I don't know why. I don't know what triggered it, but I just thought, you know what? I'm going to go out there and I'm going to find as many different kinds of root beer as I can, all the brands. I'm going to try them. I'm going to review them, write down my thoughts, rate them, rank them. And I literally go out of my way to find brands and bottles that I'd never tried. I remember driving to Indianapolis. And just going on a hunt and coming home with about 20 bottles. And what I didn't realize over this period of time, this about a year, was I'd started gaining some weight. I was feeling more lethargic. I was kind of depressed. I just didn't feel like myself, and I was down. And I realized it was probably the turn of a new year, and when people do resolutions, and I thought, I want to feel better about myself. I want to look in the mirror and not see myself, 20 pounds overweight. And what is the easiest thing? And I hate to say that, but really, I mean, I thought, what's the easiest thing I can do to look better, to feel better, to be more like myself again, without too much of a headache. And the first thing that came to my mind was, you know what? You've got to cut out on the soft drink thing. I mean, I've turned it into an addiction. It's the only thing I'm thinking about. I'm literally, we might be strapped for cash for the week, and I'm spending it on bottles of root beer, which that's the definition of an addiction. And so I almost cold turkey. I said, you know what? Just cut out with the soft drinks. I had a kombucha before that was root beer flavored.
Oh, really?
It was the live, I think they're live kombucha, and they have a root beer flavor. And so I went back to that. And I said, you know what? It's not the real thing, but it has that bubbly fizziness. There's no added sugar. And so I'm going to substitute kombucha with, or I'm going to substitute my soft drinks with kombucha. And ever since I made that decision, I never went back. I haven't had a soft drink in more than 2 years now. And I realized, literally, I think it took about 3 days to where I felt better. I felt more focused. I had tendonitis in my wrists that was killing me. And that started going away. And I didn't realize at the time the whys. I just knew, wow, I'm feeling better. I'm losing weight. I have more energy. This is good. And this was just, again, this was one decision. And it made the world of difference to me. And wow, ever since then, I've never wanted to go back. So
Wow. So I think
that
what
was
you're
an easy.
saying is that you had some inflammation in your body, and I'm guessing that removing the sugar is what helped reduce that inflammation.
I wish I would have talked to you like 2.5 years ago.
Well, 2.5 years ago, I was learning about this too. So we were in the same boat.
Yeah, but it
Interesting.
was and it my tendonitis hadn't bothered me since then. I like I said, I've lost the weight. I feel good, have energy, and I feel healthy.
Hi, my name is Lynn Heitmeyer. My company is Immaculate Marriages and based in Defiance, Ohio. I am an ordained marriage officiant licensed by the American Marriage Ministries. Immaculate Marriages is a unique opportunity for couples of any race, gender, faith-based, or secular beliefs to unite in a beautiful, lawful ceremony. My goal is to provide a beautiful wedding ceremony designed for each couple's unique personality and desires. I will work with the couple to design the ceremony according to their needs. For the wedding ceremony of your dreams, please find me on Facebook at Immaculate Marriages or text me at 419-439-0742. Again, text me at 419-439-0742. I look forward to providing you with beautiful lifetime memories.
Can we segue just a little bit? I want you to tell people what kombucha is because I'm guessing a lot of people are listening because they like kombucha, but for my listeners that have no idea what this foreign word means, can you explain what it is?
Sure. Well, kombucha is tea. A lot of people call it juice, kombucha juice. Well, it's not juice. It's actually fermented tea. So if you're going to put it in a family, sometimes you see it with, kimchi, sauerkraut, those kind of things. Although those are solid, edible, kombucha is fermented tea. A lot of people use black tea and they ferment it for a period of time, and then usually it's flavored because it can have a vinegary taste. And if you're a newcomer, that can be off-putting. And so usually it's flavored with either fruit or a juice to offset that stronger vinegar harshness. But kombucha, it's good for digestion. Good has glucosamines, which is what that's the thing that triggered my tendonitis going away. It's good for mental clarity. I mean, it's nature's drink in many ways. It's a few thousand years old and Far Eastern formula. Nothing magic about it. It just it's been proven to work. And so 2,000, 3,000 years later, we finally have it in the West.
Right. And you are married and have children, correct?
Yes.
So does
And
your
we
whole
all drink
family
it.
drink it? Oh, okay, you all drink it. Can I
Yeah,
ask
when
how
you
old
say,
your kids are?
my kids are about to be 8 and 9. So
Okay.
they started drinking 2 years ago. And now some people hear fermented and they get skittish because they're like, well, is there alcohol? Alcoholic content, we would usually call trace amounts of alcohol. It's below the usually about a 0.5% alcohol content. Usually it's much less than that now, so it's safe for kids so long as they're not drinking a whole keg's worth.
Do
But
your kids
the
like it?
interesting oh yeah the
Yeah.
interesting thing that I've found is that if you take a child who's never had kombucha, you take an adult that's never had kombucha, the adult will usually kind of it takes them off guard, and they might do the little shiver, or they might it takes them a little time to get used to it.
Yeah.
Children, every single time they gulp it down. They usually I've never seen a child who hasn't loved at least our kombucha. And it's good for them. So It's good for the digestion, good for their health. It's antioxidant heavy. So especially this time of year in the winter, it's a good add-on to make sure your kids aren't getting sick.
Hey, it's Matt. Do you suffer from panic attacks? I have three steps to quickly stop panic in its tracks. Using two fingers on your favorite hand, step one, tap 7 to 10 times on your inner eyebrow. Step two, tap 7 to 10 times under your eye on the orbital bone. Step three, take that favorite hand and pat your collarbone 7 to 10 times. Repeat these steps until the panic dissolves. Stop panicking, start thriving. Go to www.thrivetribe419.com and click on e-courses to schedule a one-on-one session with me today.
Now that we know a little bit about kombucha and kind of how the whole kombucha thing started with you, I want to get into some of the meat and potatoes of you as an individual. I love that you started as a work-at-home dad. And I think your perspective is really cool because we don't hear these types of things from men very often. So I'd love to hear your story about how you kind of went against the social norms and you're pursuing your dreams while balancing that with kids. And if you want to start with your international travels, that's fine. You can start wherever you want, but please tell us about all of this.
Okay. Well, sometimes I have no idea where to start, but you know,
you're a complicated person in a good way.
Yeah, it's all over the map, but I grew up in Texas. I lived there for most of my life. I didn't tell you this, but when I was in eighth grade, I moved to the Ukraine. So we were there for the 1 year anniversary of their independence from the Soviet Union. So that was really my first.
Yeah, didn't kombucha start over there somewhere?
They have Russia kvass. They have kvass over there. Yeah.
So that's similar to. Okay. Sorry to interrupt. You go right ahead.
Oh, no. That's good. So that was my first experience with this kind of fermented drink over in the Ukraine. So living over there for a year, it opened my eyes to the world, and came back home. I believe in 2004, I met my future wife, who was from the Philippines. I went to go visit her. Stayed for a couple of months, came back home, and we had that long-distance relationship that shouldn't work because she's in another country, I'm here in America. And I went back to visit her a year later, and I ended up tearing up my plane tickets, and I just stayed because I fell in love with her. And then we ended up moving to Thailand, which was one of the biggest risks a person could take in their life, to go to a country without a job, not speaking the language.
Gutsy move for sure.
Yeah. But we had each other, and we thrived and we survived, and it changed my life. It changed both of our lives because we realized, you know what? Life is about taking risks. It's not about, I believe, playing it safe, and it's about finding who you are, what you love to do, who you want to do it with, and living. And we did. And it taught, you know, moving over there taught me to learn how to take risks, to be myself. Came back home to America, got into the whole 9-to-5. I was a banker. And then I ended up in sales, and I was miserable, miserable. And it wasn't the life I wanted. I wasn't myself anymore. And my wife and I had ended up swapping roles. We had two kids. She went back to work full time. She's a teacher, and she loves that. And I ended up staying at home, which at first, I mean, sadly to say, with many men, you know, that's a blow to the ego. You know, you
right.
want to be that breadwinner, that provider. And I felt ashamed for a little while to be, you know, I'm the stay-at-home dad. I would go to the store at 11 a.m. or, you know, 1 o'clock with my kids. And my thought was, wow, all these people are looking at me. Like, what are you doing at the store in the middle of the day with your kids?
Mm-hmm.
And so finally I just realized, you know what? Who cares? Who cares what they think? I'm providing for my kids just doing this. I'm being the dad they need. I'm meeting their needs. I'm no less valuable than my wife is, who's making the money. And even if, and it helped me to understand stay-at-home moms much more, and the, you know, if the husband comes home and, wow, there's dishes in the sink. What did you do all day? Well, I finally realized you did a whole lot. You did a whole lot that day.
Thank you.
Yeah. And,
We just sit and eat bonbons, don't we?
Yeah. And it changed my perspective completely. But at the same time, I felt, you know what? I want to be fulfilled in some way. I like to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up in my spare time, which wasn't much when you have two little kids,
mm-hmm.
and a stay-at-home dad, and they're in the ages before school.
Yes.
But I decided, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to write a book. I'm going to write a book on a topic that I care about. And my first book ended up becoming an Amazon bestseller, which totally blew me out of the water and took me off guard.
Wow.
And I ended up making that my profession for a few years in there. I wrote three books. The first two of which became bestsellers. And again, it was that risk. It was that, you know what, go against the grain, do what you love. Don't let anyone tell you you're not supposed to be doing this. It was what was fulfilling me, what I was good at, what I could do and support my family, even if it was staying at home and, you know, feeding my children and taking them to the park and doing the shopping and the cooking dinner. And I guess that was that bridge point from a steady career to what I'm doing now, which is making kombucha for a living. You know, that period of time taught me, it's okay to take risks. It's okay to go against the grain. It's okay
mm-hmm.
to be in Indiana and making a drink that's more popular on the West Coast.
Right.
Because really, I mean, who makes kombucha in Northwest Ohio or Northeast Indiana?
Robert Johnson does.
Yeah, and a whole bunch of people do. And it's
and, you
okay.
know, and people like it. I think that, you know, there's maybe not enough to go around yet. So, and we like choices too.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess that was my thing, was going to the store, and I'm sure people have noticed that you look at the different brands that are in the store and they're all from either California or Oregon.
Uh-huh.
And they've been, how long we talked about the local food movement. I'm sure that's a big thing there.
Yes.
You know, why would I have my kombucha shipped across the country? You know, it's taken a week to get here when I can get something that was made just down the street, and it is probably better, and it's fresher, and it's made by someone that I can run into at the store and support. Mm-hmm. And but it was
yeah.
a risk. I mean, it but it was one of the best risks my wife and I have ever made was, you know, taking a jump and doing this full time. So
how did you, first of all, I want to know, while you were writing your books, how did you manage your time between taking care of your family and writing the book, the three books?
Well, I think the first thing I had to realize was my family has to take precedence. And so, you know, I had two little kids, both of them at the time they weren't even in school yet. And so, you know, my role as that stay-at-home dad was to be a dad. mm-hmm. They can't be stuck in the house for 8 hours, you know, at a time. They needed to go outside. And so to remember that and to put them first, put my wife first, and, you know, I'm going to have time. I've just got to learn how to squeeze in, you know, write this chapter over the course of 2 days or 3 days when I can. And then when they go to bed, you know, take good notes. And so tomorrow morning when I can write, maybe it's 15 minute increments, mm-hmm. you know, I at least have a plan. I think that's one of the main things, is to always have that plan, but a plan that can shift and move and change and be adjusted as needed.
Right. I've learned that too. You're always adjusting. And I think that I talk to so many moms, not too many stay-at-home dads, but I know they're out there, but a lot of stay-at-home moms that they're working and they decide, I want to be a stay-at-home mom. And then they start, you know, maybe they quit their job and they start staying home. And it's good for like the first couple weeks, and then they're starting to feel unfulfilled, because I think when you work outside the home, you get positive feedback, you kind of get some accolades once in a while, you get a thank you. And when you work primarily at home caring for children, you don't get that. I mean, that's off the table. you know, you really have to dig deep to find those rewards.
Oh, yeah. And that's something that a lot of people, they don't understand. When your life revolves around two little kids, and those are the conversations that mostly come up, you know, Thomas the Train and Elmo and, you know, those things that can, I mean, it can drive you crazy at times. I mean, if we're honest, but, and I think that's how I stumbled into kombucha, even was in writing the books, was, you know what, I need to allow myself a hobby or something to fill those moments. I learned to cook. That was a stepping stone to making kombucha. I found I loved cooking. I loved being in the kitchen and creating and making things. And again, you know, that's the stereotype is, well, the man isn't going to do that, but I found I loved it. And that's why I was brave enough to try my hand at kombucha, and it worked. And really, give yourself a hobby, give yourself hobbies, whether it's reading or creating or crafting or and something that the kids can help you with. So.
Yeah, and a hobby doesn't always have to go somewhere, right? But yours did.
Yeah. And I think that's the I had other hobbies, but, you know, when you have that free time, when you have that time at home to experiment, to do things that, hey, I've never even thought of doing this before, and it turns into something you love, which springboards into something else. There's hardly any way I can explain or I can express what that feels like to find that fulfillment in the most unexpected place.
Right. So tell us more about your kombucha business, because this started in your home as a hobby, and now you have this big facility.
Well, we again, I wanted to give it a go. I thought, this will be something fun to try. And so I sat down, I gave it a shot one time, and one afternoon when I was alone, and that first attempt, the glass, I remember it blew up in my hands. And I remember, I cleaned up. I wasn't hurt, but I was scared. It was obviously. And I went to go sit down on the couch. And I remember thinking, what am I doing? This is the worst thing I could possibly do. I'm going to kill myself doing this. And I sat there and I thought, you know what? Just one more try. Just one more try. And if it blows up again, yeah, you're out. And the second attempt didn't blow up, but it was just horrible. Anyone who's done home brewing knows it could be hit or miss because of a lot of factors. And that second attempt tasted horrible, and it's like, man, why would I drink this? And well, I'm gonna try it one more time, just one more time. And we nailed it that third time as far as the base goes. And I think my main thing for trying to make kombucha was, I want something a little less vinegary that has more flavor than, the West Coast brands offered me. And I think my time overseas in Thailand kind of helped with this. I was more interested in pairing interesting flavors like blackberry and mint, strawberry and basil, things that
Ooh.
most people wouldn't even think of
Basil is a
doing.
big thing in Thailand, isn't it?
It's in all their foods. Mint is a big one, and I paired those together, and I remember taking that first taste test and thinking, whoa, I think we have something here. And
Oh, cool.
and we offered it up to friends and coworkers, and that first 2.5 hours we had sold 60 bottles.
My
And
goodness.
then I thought, you know what? I can make a little money on the side doing this, to supplement my writing career. And within about a week, the roles swapped. And I was like, I don't have time to write anymore, because we're having people we don't even know contact us to buy kombucha. And so we took that risk. It's all about just taking the risk and give it one shot. Give it one shot. If it fails, whatever, I can still write. But it took off, and within, I think it was a month of being an official business, we were already in two retail stores, which is
Oh my
very,
gosh.
very rare. Yeah, because, like you mentioned at the beginning, we put an emphasis on the look and the way that bottle looks and the logo and the I guess the sizzle.
Yeah, well, you are competing against other things like soda, and soda bottles or cans have very colorful, kind of eye-catching graphics, and I think that you have also done that. So
Yeah,
kudos
the
to
guy
you on
we,
that.
yeah, and that was all my friend, Derek Taylor. He was just a guy I knew from church, and I told him, hey, here's the name, here's our demographic, which is women, about 20 to 45-ish. And the next day he came up with everything, the logo, the bottle look, and I said, you nailed it, and we haven't changed it since, really. But that was the thing. It's you're competing against those big, GT, Synergy, Brew Doctor, all of those national brands. what can you do to make that person pick up your bottle instead?
Right.
Don't make it look local, and just make it look like it belongs on the shelf.
It does. And I love how your flavors are inspired by your international travels. That's really cool. So how did you come up with the name Crossroads?
Well, there's a couple reasons. The first of which, you know, Indiana is the crossroads of America.
Okay.
So that's the primary. And secondary, my name is Robert Johnson. There was an old blues guitar player called Robert Johnson in his back in the 20s, and his big hit was Crossroads. So growing up as a guitar player, every time I'd go into a music store, they'd ask my name, they'd always make the joke, been down to the crossroads lately, and I hated it. I hate it because I've gotten that joke about 200 times in my life, and then I realized, you know what? It's my turn to turn the tables on all of you guys. And, that's my inside joke. So,
ooh, thanks for letting us in on the secret. Mm-hmm. So I have all kinds of questions for you. First of all, what are these books that you've written? What are the titles of the books, and can we still get them on Amazon?
Yeah, you can still get them on Amazon. You can even order them from, you know, your local bookstore if they're not there. You know, Barnes & Noble, you can find them. So the first two are ancient Rome focused. That was one of my big passions for years. The series is called Magnus, M-A-G-N-U-S. Two books about a guy that lived around the time of Julius Caesar, and I won't go into too much detail because
yeah, no spoiler alerts.
Not the same demographic necessarily, but and then my third book was called Wraith, W-R-A-I-T-H. That was the first book in a new series that I still have not gotten to because something else ended up taking up most of my time.
Then that was spelled W-R-A-I-P-H?
Yes.
Okay. Cool.
But you can find them on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, anywhere you buy books. So.
Okay, I will put the names of those in our show notes. My second question for you is, where can we buy Crossroads Kombucha? In Northwest Ohio. Is it available here yet? Or
not yet.
Okay.
We will be there very soon. The closest, right now we're in Auburn, Indiana, which is, I think, not far across the border. We'll be in Angola, Indiana shortly. And then we're making that jump to Northwest Indiana, the Defiance. The Toledo. We're finishing up this week our new facility, which will allow us to expand greatly. And so that's one of our big pushes here in the next month or two to get up that way.
Cool. How many flavors do you have?
We have 9. 6 of them are year-round. And we have some seasonal ones, like lavender grape, which is lavender and Concord grapes, and then an apricot ginger.
It's like craft beer, but it's kombucha.
Yep. Flavor is my big thing. The reason we got into what we're doing is because I wanted big, bold, unique flavors that you don't find anywhere else. So
very cool. So how can people, I love it. How can people contact you?
Well, we're on Facebook, Crossroads Kombucha. Give us a follow, because if you follow us, then you're going to know when we're up in your area, because we're very active on Facebook. and we post all our new locations, and Instagram is another one. We're not quite as active, but we're on Instagram. You can email us, crossroadskombucha@gmail.com or info@crossroadskombucha.com. And follow us because we're making a, like I said, a big push this year, and we're excited. So it's going to be a good year for us.
Awesome, Robert. Well, thank you so much again for your time. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to the Thrive Tribe 419 podcast. Do you know someone who could benefit from the information you just heard? Share the love by sharing this episode. Want to connect online? Check out thrivetribe419.com to leave a review or check out more episodes. You can also join the conversation by searching for Thrive Tribe 419 on Facebook or Instagram. See you next time. Keep thriving.